We had for our sanctuary choir, I Shall Wear a Crown. I want to read a passage from 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3, New International Version. And the text says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure." The word of our God. Full disclosure. Thank you, ushers. A few months back, I saw some photos of an event in Chicago. It was a social gathering. And as I looked at those photos, I noticed that my godmother was in one of the photos. I called her and said, "Well, how was the event?" And she said, "Well, how did you know I was there?" And I told her, "Well, someone took pictures and posted them on Facebook." And she said, "What?" She wasn't a happy camper. She said, "I'm going to make sure no one takes my picture without my permission." You know, these younger folks, they post everything wherever they are, but older generations are a little bit more discreet. We don't want folk to know where we are. We don't post anything. You can't always control the narrative. I'm sure that many of you have heard about non-disclosure agreements, or NDAs. Celebrities and wealthy people want to control the narrative. So if they have a function or a party, they ask their guests to sign a non-disclosure agreement. And in doing so, that means if the guest leaves the function or the party and shares any information or photos or pictures or secrets, they can be taken to court and sued. So with the advancements of social media platforms, it's more difficult to keep things private and to control the narrative. Now, none of us in here have been asked to sign non-disclosure agreements. Missy Elliott doesn't invite us to the after party when she gets inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We haven't been asked, so, you know. But maybe some of you all are big enough where somebody says, "You got to sign this before you can come into the party." There are some things that we don't want others to know or to see. Sometimes folks intentionally withhold important information. This isn't on my paper, but even as we listen to the news and think about what's going on in the Middle East and around the world, we have to know that the information that we're getting is partial information. We're not always getting the full story. When you purchase a home, sometimes homeowners withhold information that might impact the sale of their home. Sometimes they put a portrait on the wall to hide a big hole in the wall. Sometimes you turn on the water and the water doesn't work, you know. And so folks don't always adhere to full disclosure laws and guidelines. That's the world we live in. Folks don't always share what they are supposed to share. We don't always get full disclosure from persons and situations, and even sometimes our friends and our family members come to us with stories, but it's not always the whole story. It's the story from their perspective, and you have to be careful in making judgments when you get part of the story. Even in matters of faith, we don't know everything. We don't have all the information, nor do we have access to everything. Even as Christians, as believers, we know in part, and we operate with a partial view of God. If anyone declares that they know everything there is to know about God and about the Bible, don't believe it. If anyone claims to have all the answers about God and faith, don't believe it. So when they show up and say to you, God has given me this revelation knowledge, or they, God has given me, or they'll say a word for you. Don't believe everything people tell you. We don't know everything. You see, God transcends human understanding and human knowledge. Nobody knows everything there is to know about God and faith. Now, that reality might be unsettling for some of us, but don't lose heart. There is coming a time when we will experience the fullness of God and get the whole picture. And that's the promise in our text in 1 John. This past week, the Christian church in the Western world celebrated All Saints Day. And it's usually the 1st of November, right after Halloween. It is a day to remember and honor all the Christian saints and believers, known and unknown, who rest until resurrection morning. All Saints Day reminds us of the many folks who long before our time carried the banner of faith and the message God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And this passage in 1 John provides an important message for All Saints Day, because it teaches us that a day is coming when believers will experience full disclosure, when all will be clearly revealed to us. So if you want to know God fully, you need to hang on to faith until that day, because on that day, he says, it will be made manifest. As followers of Christ, we know that there is, on the one hand, an already sort of existence. And on the other hand, there is a not yet sort of existence. So we have an already or present status, and we have a not yet or future status. And the John says here that we are God's children. We are children of God. That he says, what love God has lavished on us that we would be called children of God. That's our already status. When you accept Christ by faith, when you allow Jesus to come into your life, you have already become a child of God. That's your already present status. We are children of God. And even though we are human beings, we are finite, we are limited, subject to passions and mistakes, But as long as we have made a confession of faith, we are children of God. That's our already status. But then we also live with what is called transforming spirituality. And what does that mean? It means that as we live, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, is transforming us daily into the image of Jesus Christ. It means that as we live in this world, each day the Spirit is working on us and working in us to move us closer to Christ's likeness. You didn't know that that was a journey, right? God is working on us all the time to try to make us more like Christ. When you receive salvation by faith, that happens in an instant. That happens in a moment. You come to faith, you accept Jesus, and in that moment, you are saved. You are a Christian. But sanctification, changing your life to be like Christ, is a lifelong process. Salvation requires faith, but sanctification requires surrender and obedience. So it doesn't take anything but faith to be a part of God's family. But if you want to be like Christ, you've got to surrender to Christ and be obedient to Christ every day of your life. So those are the realities that we face. We have the already present reality and the not yet future reality. We are being transformed daily into the image of God. But the writer teaches there is a day coming when that present reality and that future reality will come to full fruition. We will see Christ and ourselves. And one of the things he says is that we are going to see ourselves fully, completely. The text says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known." The King James says, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." But he says, "But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him." What are we going to be like? What are we headed toward as Christ works on us and transforms us into his likeness? And he says, "That day we will be fully known." There's a day coming where it will be complete. We will see ourselves fully. We will see who we are and what we are as Christians. Because right now, all we see is part of the story. We can't even envision the whole story because we aren't able to see the whole story. And so that means, beloved, we have to extend grace to ourselves and we have to extend grace to others. Because we ourselves are not fully what we're going to be, and other people are not fully what God is going to make them. We cannot judge folks by what we see today, because we don't know how God will change and transform a person's life. The text says, when Christ comes, we'll see ourselves fully, and we will be like Christ. We anticipate a future transformation that will culminate in a true reflection of God in Christ. That's a wonderful thing. One of these days, the partial view will be open and we'll have a clear view of ourselves. You might say, "Well, I don't want to see myself completely. I'm still trying to hide my stuff. I'm still trying to run away from the social media stuff. I don't want anybody to see." Well, one day is coming where you will see yourself in your fullness in terms of what God has done in your life. Next year in May, God willing, I will celebrate 40 years as a pastor, first Sunday in May 2024. And I got a blessed call a couple of months ago from the pastor of the church that I served in Joliet, Illinois, beginning in May of 1984. You see, next year, the church is celebrating its 70th church anniversary. It was 30 years old when I got to that church almost 40 years ago. And when I started there, I was 25 years of age. And many of the folks that I pastored are still there today. The pastor said, we're friends. He said, Ricky, we want you to come back and to preach our 70th anniversary. And it's going to be in the third Sunday in May next year. And I said to myself, what a blessing, what a gift to go back to the church where I started 40 years later in the same month that I celebrate 40 years of pastoral ministry. And some of the people are still there. Some were adults, some were teenagers, some were children 40 years ago. And I was thin, and I had a full head of hair back then. I'm taking some medication. Doctor gave me some medication. This isn't on my paper. Doctor gave me some medication, and he told me that one of the side effects of the medication is that you grow hair. So I came home. I told my wife, I'm growing hair. And she said, where? Up here. So if I come in here with some hair up here, you know, after it grows, I'm going to dye it too. And I don't y'all laugh at me. But it will be a blessing. It will be a blessing to see some of those people after 40 years. I will see adults who were children when I was there. I will see seniors who were young adults when I was there. And I'm sure that transformation has occurred. I'm sure that not only have I changed, but they have changed as well. Because we don't know what will happen in the future. We don't know how God can move in a person's life. And we don't know how choices can impact a person's future, but God knows. So what a blessed reunion we're looking forward to. And we'll look back and say, I knew what you used to look like. I knew where you were, and look at you now. Look at you now, 40 years later. What a blessing to know that we will experience full disclosure. We will see ourselves fully. Not only will we see ourselves, but we will also see Christ fully. He says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a powerful statement. We shall see him, Christ, as he is in the future. When Christ comes, we will have an unobstructed view. Nothing and no one will block our view of Christ. We will see Christ as he is, unobstructed by creeds written by men, by dogmas, by doctrines, unobstructed by theological interpretations and denominational identities. All that's going to be pulled out of the way, and we'll see Christ as he truly is. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. He says, now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. We'll see Christ in all of his glory and splendor. And we will fully understand his purpose and righteousness. You see, beloved, right now, our language is limited. Even the words we come up with to approximate Christ and his will fall woefully short. Our capacity to know Christ is limited, and whatever labels we come up with are merely approximations because we don't know the full story. We don't know him as he fully is. There's so much more to Christ than is contained in the Gospels. They didn't record everything. Help me, somebody. They record some of the stories. There's much more to Christ than our personal experiences. Sometimes we make the mistake of universalizing our subjective experiences. And so we go around acting as if what we have experienced and what we know is all there is to know about God in Jesus Christ. But we don't know everything. There is a component of mystery to this faith. There's some things God reveals to us and other things God holds for God's self. There's a mystery on this journey. And we don't know everything that we ought to know or we want to know about Jesus Christ. And there's just some things we just don't know. So don't go around pronouncing all of these judgments and platitudes about other people and about situations without realizing you just know part of the story. There's so much more to Christ than what we understand and than what we experience. And I tell you, I'm all right with the mystery. Because I don't want a Christ that's so pedestrian and so complete that anybody can find everything out about him and put him in a box. I don't want a Christ like that. I want a Christ that's bigger than I am. I want a Christ that sees more than I can see. I want a Christ who has power beyond my comprehension. He says we will see Christ. We will see him fully. And when we get the full disclosure of the Son of God, we might discover things that we didn't expect. So be careful about putting Christ in a corner and thinking that you've got Christ all figured out. One day you might have you're going to have the full experience. We all rushing to get to heaven. We're rushing to die, aren't you? Aren't you rushing? You say no. We get there and run into somebody we didn't expect to be there. Help me, Holy Ghost. Or run into a situation we weren't looking for because we didn't know the whole story. But there's a day coming when we will see Christ fully. During this election season, we are bombarded with all of this stuff about what we are devoted about and about polls and all this speculation. They're taking national polls and local polls. But polls are just approximations. And that's why they always include what they call a margin of error. Because they don't know what's going to happen. It's not until the election takes place that we find out what happened and who voted and how they voted. And we don't know how big the error is until the voting is over, but I want us to know that we too, as believers, have a margin of error as it relates to what we know about Christ. And sometimes that margin of error can lead us to misinterpret Christ and misinterpret the will of God. And so we think God sent us to tell somebody that they could not come into the church unless they had a certain color on. Or they could not come into the church unless they dropped all the stuff that they were involved in before they walk into the church. And that's a part of the margin of error. And a whole lot of error is taking place in churches and in religious places all around the world in the name of God. He says there's coming a day when we will meet the real Christ, and one day we'll see him face to face. And then we'll know ourselves fully, we will see Christ fully, and we will experience full fellowship with God. And so the writer says, and all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. So the text says, remain pure. And that command is based upon having this hope in us. What hope? The hope of knowing Christ fully. And based upon that hope, while we await the return of Christ, we are to remain committed to our faith in God. Because one day we will have full fellowship with Christ. By faith right now, we've got fellowship with him right now. Don't we? Because we have a relationship with him today. But it's not complete fellowship. And one of these days we will join with all the saints of the ages and spend eternity with Jesus Christ. That is our hope. And that is our goal as Christians. Our task in the meantime is to remain steadfast in our walk with Jesus Christ. I said All Saints Day is celebrated by the Christian church this week. And it reminds us that we are not the first group of Christians. And we're not the only group of Christians. Long before any of us drew breath, there were believers who walked with God. There were Christians who lived and served in the light of Jesus Christ. And we thank God for their service and their commitment. We stand in the company of a great cloud of witnesses who are leaning over the balustrades of glory and saying to the Christian church today, hold on until he comes again. Their labor is enshrined in the annals of divine history. And they give us hope that one day we will experience the future God has planned for us, when we will have full fellowship with God. As I get closer to the culmination of my active pastoral ministry, I remember more and more those pastors who shaped my life and those preachers who've come before me and those pastors under whose ministry I served as a child and as a teenager. And all of them have crossed over to the other side. And they're resting in the lap of eternity until the trumpet sounds on resurrection morning. And the writer is saying, when God comes back, all of the saints of the ages from generations past will gather together and have full fellowship with God. The blessing is we will experience full, unhindered fellowship with God. That's what heaven is all about. Heaven is not some family reunion. No, that's what some of you are planning. You run around the streets of gold looking for your loved ones. And when you find your loved ones, you grab a little seat on the corner somewhere and eat fried chicken and macaroni and cheese. That's what some of us are looking for. Our songs speak to that. When I see my mother there, and I'm going to go see my brother and my sister there. That's, we think of it as being a family reunion, but heaven is about being with God forever. Heaven is about spending eternity in the presence of God. And heaven will not be like this world. It will not be shaped by the values, mores, and standards of this earthly realm. So if you're thinking that heaven is just going to be a big earthly celebration, I've got news for you. It's going to be different on the other side. And that's why John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Listen to what he says. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And listen, he says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Isn't that something? And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. And he shall be my son, and not going to be the same. On the other side, when we see Christ fully and we experience full disclosure and fellowship with God. The old preacher used to say it this way. We go from the land of some more to the land of no more. And he says, as long as you stay down here, you'll have some more stuff. You'll have headaches and you'll have some more headaches. You'll have problems and you'll have some more problems. But one of these days we're going to a new land where there's no more sorrow, no more burdens, no more trouble, no more trials. That's what we are headed toward. And that's what Paul means when he says that transformation is going to occur. And we need to be transformed to experience full fellowship with God. And that's why God is working on us. And that's why God is working in us to get us ready for that day when we have full fellowship with God. Listen to what Paul says in Corinthians, and then I'm done. He says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. He says, and just as we've borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. And here's where I wanted to head. Those of you who are looking for a family reunion. He says, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. I cannot wait for full disclosure. I cannot wait to see him on the other side. That's why we sang that hymn, Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. The old ones sang, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God will be gathered home, We'll tell the story how we overcome. We'll understand it better. By and by. By and by. By and by. By and by. Full. Full. Disclosure. We'll see ourselves fully. We will see Christ fully, and we will have full fellowship with God. I'm through, but my soul is happy. You cannot take a piece of paper and call it an obituary and put all your hopes in that obituary, because the obituary doesn't have a heaven to take you to. You've got to put your hopes in Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. It doesn't matter what school you went to. It doesn't matter what job you had. It doesn't matter what
club you were a part of. You need Jesus.
When you die, that's all that's left. I'm trying to let it go. But I don't know when I'm leaving, when I'm going to die. But I tell you, I said to my wife the other day, I said, this is the song I want you to play at my funeral. And that's that song from the Messiah. And the song is entitled, "The Trumpet Shall Sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible." I said that, but I don't want anybody to cry. Just play that song. Because that's my hope on the other side. I want to hear the trumpet sound. I want to be raised incorruptible. I want to see Jesus face to face. Hallelujah. That's all I'm working for. That's all I'm serving for. To see him one day. And to have him say, "Well done." Extend the invitation to Christ. There's nothing more important than knowing Christ and having Christ in your life. There's nothing more important than walking with him and letting him walk with you. And there's nothing more important than getting to the end of your journey and having him take your hand and carry you to your rest. That's the hope. That's the joy. That's the blessing of full disclosure. Will you stand with me as we extend the invitation as our ministers, deacons, and greeters come?
Skies.